This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Number 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160, kicking off the second hour. Phones are open. We've got the Restrict Act coming up here, the latest on BRICS, and what is happening with the countries in the world that are on the rise, and is the United States on falling? By comparison to them, we will get into that coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. But first, I've still got a couple more exchanges to read the eulogy for here. They've written it themselves. They sent it to me, one of them in my email, another one I happen to spot on social media today. We've been discussing over the last several weeks how the SEC... months, in fact, since the library case, how the SEC has been going after the cryptocurrency industry, the Securities and Exchange Commission. So we're going to continue with that here. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
So we mentioned they took down this week an exchange called BXC, which apparently was Chicago-based. I'd never heard of it before, but it just goes to show you that they're going after the little guys and they're going after the big guys. They're going after Coinbase. They're going after Binance. That's actually not the SEC. That's the CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. But they're going after the biggest of the big, and they're going after some of the little guys. But
I'll tell you who they'll never go after. The people who caused the 2008 housing crush.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Right.
Mostly because it was them, but it was also the bankers. They did it, they cooperated to do it, and they made a lot of money.
Well, they get bailed out, too, if they fail. So they're
And that's the thing. First, they were making money by just having the massive inflation of housing prices so you could sell somebody a house you knew he couldn't pay for, but you're going to have to foreclose it in 2 years, but when that happened, it would be worth twice as much. So it was still a really, it allowed them to get their claws into a lot more properties than they could have if they'd had to invest their own money on it. And then, of course, the coup de grace was, making it look like the right thing was happening. Making it look like all the bankers were going to be out on, Fifth Avenue in New York washing your windshield and saying, "Squeegee, mister." But then at the last minute, they suckered in the short sellers to the banking industry. And then at the last minute, they said, "Just kidding. We're going to make sure that all you people who did trillions of dollars of damage, all of you people who drove people to suicide, drove them to homelessness, took their lives, took their homes, took their hope, took everything that mattered to them, well, we're going to make sure you're okay. Because you started out rich, so you will always be rich."
Too big to fail.
Too big to fail. Too big to fail means too big to exist. Too big to manage. Too big. I mean, and you don't need a government to break up these monsters. All you need is to let nature take its course.
Indeed. Well, one of those things that could happen would be a bank run. If you really want to push the dominoes into falling over this banking system, because they are just hoping right now that people do not come in and ask for their money. Because every one of these banks, according to the numbers that we've seen here, the Washington Post did they were talking about a study from, I believe it was Stanford last week, showing that there were at least 186 banks that were in similar conditions as Silicon Valley Bank or worse. meaning that it's just a, it's they don't have the money. They're just hoping you don't call them on it. So presidential candidate Aaron W. Or Aaron R. Day, he's the Free Stater that's running for president in the Republican Party. He's calling for a bank run on April 1st. People should go and play a prank on their bankers and ask for all their money back and look at the, see what the look on their face looks like.
Mm-hmm. And really, especially with some big countries fleeing from the dollar, finally, and it's not like they haven't known for decades that the dollar was going to crash eventually, but it was this prisoner's dilemma thing where...
Well, what else do you do?
They were all locked into the dollar, yeah. And so nobody wanted to admit that the emperor had no clothes because yeah. they would lose too.
Well, they may all have to admit it real fast soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, Biden was a moron to go to war with Russia because, mm-hmm. you know, they're smart enough to understand what's really going on, you know, and they know how vulnerable the U.S. government is. That's why, you know, sometimes I think maybe Biden, Zelensky, and Putin cooked this up together, the whole war thing, just so they could, you know, it's a great way to, war is the greatest money laundering tool history, because once you ship billions of dollars in cash over to Iraq, nobody even asks where it went.
Yeah.
The Pentagon lost $2 trillion, and funny thing, it kind of got covered up, though, because the next day was 9/11.
All right, we go to Saheed. He's on the line in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Saheed.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's on your mind?
So I'm hearing nobody talk about the banks. I think I brought this up before on the show, but now it's becoming way more relevant because I think like the whole economy is basically hooked to this unlimited credit that the banking system kind of creates. And so as Muslim, the more serious I got about Islam, I kind of like lost faith in kind of like the banking system because it's like directly against my ideals. And I was looking around and
by that you mean Muslims are against charging interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And interest is basically at the like layer one of fiat, you know.
Does the Quran talk about the currency called the dinar or the value of the gold standard at all?
Yeah, I think dinar is the only dinar. Gold and silver is the only thing mentioned as money in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the point you were driving at?
Interest is at the layer one. Everybody goes ahead and still uses it, despite it being like explicit in the Quran that it's a problem, you know. Because everybody uses it. So the one problem I had with a lot of anarcho-capitalists and libertarians is like that problem with interest, you know. So I'm all down with the non-aggression principle and all that. But my problem with the interest thing is that you can go, just like nobody was talking about, they can actually...
LRN.FM.
I think you might have said something on the radio that you're not supposed to say, so I'm just going to put you on hold there for a moment, and we can bring him back.
We can bring him back, though.
Yeah, we have the ability now to bring... We used to have to hang up on everybody, and now we can just pause for a moment and bring you back. Just remember, you are on broadcast radio, Saheed, so please keep it radio-friendly. Go ahead.
Yeah, my bad.
What were you trying to say there? Just reverse back a thought?
Yeah, basically that people are loaning stuff out that they don't have. This is just like the obvious kind of like layer. So people are loaning stuff out that they don't have, these banks, and they're taking people's actual property back, basically a Ponzi scheme.
Well, not only loaning out what they don't have, which would, you know, that on its own is insane, but also charging interest that doesn't exist, right? So the banks are creating money out of thin air. That's what they're authorized to do by the Federal Reserve when they issue a loan. But when they create a, you know, $200,000 loan to get somebody to, you know, to purchase a house or whatever, they don't create the other $100,000 or $200,000 in interest that is going to be required to pay on that loan over 30 years. That has to come from somewhere else. And because all of the other loans that are being created aren't, the interest isn't being created, that money's got to come from somewhere, which means somebody's got to lose.
I'm not sure. I've heard that said before. I'm not entirely sure of the math on that, because money circulates. It can be spent many times.
Sure, but it's all being created without the interest payments being factored in. Whenever those banks issue loans, they're just issuing the base amount, not the not the payments, not the full interest-bearing payments. And when the Federal Reserve issues money to the federal government has to pay interest on it, too.
Well, so, exactly, that's the thing that makes it really obvious that there's a scam, because it would be perfectly legal for the U.S. government, through the Treasury Department, to simply print money itself. Yep. Instead of giving bankers a license to print money and then taxing us and giving the money to the bankers as interest.
Yep.
That's what tells me, A, that it's inarguably a scam. There's absolutely no rational person could possibly think that that was a good idea for the U.S. government, unless the question was, how can the U.S. government most egregiously rob the people of the United States?
Well, remember, the interest payments going to the Fed are coming from the income tax, from what I understand. So,
The income tax, that's all it pays for.
Correct. And the interest payments go up as the interest rates go up. This I learned this last year when the Fed was hiking its interest rates at record levels. I saw some article that explained that the amount of money that the federal government has to pay the Federal Reserve, in the same way that adjustable rate mortgages go up, does the rate on the federal government paying for its own money.
Which leads to paying in the banking system, because the high yields on bonds make people want to pull their money out of the bank.
That's what's happening with the banking
crisis. There's so many levels to it. There's so many levels to it. If you guys look into Lynn Aldrin, I think her name is. She's a Bitcoin like economist, and she goes through a lot of things. And this Ponzi's all over the place, to be honest. And I think that's one level of it. But there's also just interest fundamentally, because to be honest, when people are making a promise, and that's all fiat is, and a lot of these securities and whatever you want to call it, these vehicles to kind of like make money. They're just promises, and people think that they actually own something based off of that promise, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's actually violent to go ahead and take something from somebody based off of these promises and these deals. And the Quran, all it mentions is collateral. Like, it has the longest verse inside the Quran is basically dealing with transactions. You guys ever heard the thing about two women having to be witnesses instead of just one man? That verse is dealing all with transactions and how to go about it. And it's the longest verse in the Quran.
Hmm.
And it doesn't involve government or nothing like that. It involves witnesses, and it involves collateral. You know, and that's the only thing that you can really, work with. And that's a few lines after the verse that declares war on people who go ahead and charge interest and take stuff, which is, very explicit, the most explicit verse in the Quran, to be honest, when it comes to war and like some kind of enemy, you know. And that's how I look at it. That's how I have a problem with fiat at level one. And sorry, there's actually one other thing.
Yeah.
Is that the interest actually, the rate that the Fed uses applies to a lot of other areas where you're not actually even, like if you made a personal loan to a friend, they actually expect you to go ahead and charge the federal rate, interest rate for that loan. And they'll actually, they'll tax you for it. And there's other areas.
What?
That's not the only one, but there's other areas where they'll go ahead and
that's like if you told them about it, because why would you tell the feds about you loaning money to a friend?
Well, you know, I'm saying technically, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. They have nonprofits, when they actually have to, when you give a donation or something like that, and they hold it into some kind of like little mutual fund, or say that you have a trust fund, you have to apply the federal rate to that. And so I have a problem with the up and down. Like, there's so many problems with this whole thing. I think it's an issue.
Saheed, thanks for sharing your thoughts here tonight. I imagine you're in the middle of Ramadan right now?
Yeah.
Well, happy Ramadan to you.
Ramadan Kareem.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Yep.
Now, the thing that Murray Rothbard said, and I certainly can't say he was wrong, is that if you went down to U-Haul and you rented yourself a storage unit and put some stuff there to keep it safe, and you went back to a couple of months later and said, okay, I got to get my stuff out. They said, oh, we lent it to somebody. You can't have it now.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
I mean, I'm an anarchist. I wouldn't call the police, but I do know some juggalos with no sense of humor who would, you know, for the right price, solve my problem.
Yeah, people would be rightfully upset about that. For sure.
Yeah.
So here's the other update from the cryptocurrency exchanges. The point here is the SEC, by going after targets both small and large, is creating a climate of fear within the cryptocurrency industry. And now they're
Going to terrorize.
Right. And they're getting what they want, which is to say not only are they getting paid by exchanges like Kraken that folded when the SEC came at them over staking, but now we got other exchanges just simply announcing they're throwing their hands up in the air and saying, I'm done. CEX.io announced earlier this week on Tuesday they were going to stop staking for U.S. customers. That's because the SEC is going after staking companies. But then, 3 days later, today, they sent out another email. And listen to the way this is worded, okay? Urgent update regarding U.S. payment rails. In light of current uncertainty surrounding the U.S. banking system, we're taking a forward-looking opportunity to restructure the user experience and secure the accessibility of our product ecosystem. As your trusted crypto guy...
That's some serious corporate speak.
Big time.
Yeah. I heard corporate speaks like that since I worked for Citibank.
Get ready, because it ain't over yet. Here's more.
Gets even more interesting.
As your trusted crypto guy... Our aim is to insulate the CEX community.
Oh, my God. I trust them less than I did 10 minutes ago. I'll tell you that.
The aim is to insulate their community from disruptive and potentially negative outcomes. Therefore, as a proactive measure, and until the banking environment crystallizes with certainty, we've decided to pivot services for our U.S. customers. What's changing?
They haven't even said synergy yet. Come on.
We'll be sunsetting our deposit.
Sunsetting, that's good corporate.
Yeah. Our deposit and withdrawal features for U.S. dollars at 12 p.m. Eastern, Monday, April 3rd.
Holy moly.
It's Friday, by the way, when this email hit my inbox. So they're giving you a whole 24 hours of business notice, essentially, if not 12 hours business notice. By decoupling from U.S. banking rails, translation, we're not going to allow you
getting
to deposit.
Getting railroaded to prison.
We're not going to allow you to deposit or withdraw dollars anymore. That's what they're saying here. Users will no longer be exposed to the potential hazards of having balances held in fiat currency. Well, that's awfully kind of you guys to try to protect your users from holding dollars. That's what they're saying here, right? They're saying the dollar is at risk. The U.S. banking system is at risk. So we're just going to stop dealing with the banking system entirely.
I mean, I think that's wise.
Yeah,
but is that really what they're up to here?
It's spin. They're covering their own bottom.
Spinning the hell out of them.
Yeah, it's hard spin.
Just makes them sound like slime.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like listening to a politician speak. It's like,
yeah, it's so bad.
But the thing is, I wonder if they'd send me some yuan.
Rubles. Yeah, I don't know if
you know. I'd take some yuan or rubles, because I'll tell you what, the Chinese and the Russian governments, they're no threat to me. They've never done any harm. It's the American psychopaths that have made my life a living
every
hell.
Time. There's more. So they're going to explain what is going to change here. They say you'll still be able to use USD to instantly buy digital assets. Well, how is it that you're going to protect me from holding? They say here, I mean, users will no longer be exposed to the potential of hazards of having balances held in fiat currency. And in the next sentence, they say I can still use USD, which I'm not on this exchange. I just get emails from them to instantly buy digital assets. So,
well, I mean, that could be done the way to arrange that, if that's the business model you wanted, would be to have a situation where somebody puts in a dollar sell order and you don't let anybody send you money until that dollar sell order already exists.
I think what they're saying
that as soon as you send the dollars, they get liquidated to the guy who's selling the crypto, and he sends the crypto to you.
I think what they're saying here, though, is they're just going to allow, if you have a U.S. dollar balance on the exchange now, and they're going to turn off all their quote-unquote payment rails on Monday, they're not going to eliminate your dollar balance. They're not going to send it back to you unless you ask for it. So you'll still be able to buy bitcoins with the dollars that you have in their system. Because they say here, quote, to prevent USD balances from accruing further, USD deposits, withdrawals, trades, and bank transfers will no longer be available across our product ecosystem.
Yeah, so I can see the withdrawal how that deposits would cause you to accrue a larger dollar balance,
yes.
But a withdrawal would be the solution to that problem.
You're
it
right.
wouldn't be part of the problem.
Yeah, they're turning off their bank. It sounds like their bank is either turning them off or they're turning off their bank, one or the other, and I suspect it's the former rather than the latter. But they go on to say, if you wish, you can withdraw your U.S. dollar balance prior to Monday, April 3rd, which again is, you know, in banking, banker's time, we're talking about one day's notice here.
Takes 10 days for a check to clear.
Well, I mean, a wire transfer would be the same day, but this literally came out at 1 o'clock.
I'm just saying, I mean, the bankers, the financial institutions in general always want a lot of notice.
Oh, yeah.
They sure do move fast when they've got a wild hair.
You can convert or exchange your U.S. dollar balance into the digital assets of your choice. After April 3rd, conversion of USD into digital assets will remain as a feature available through your CEX wallet. And note, you will still be able to sell cryptocurrency for U.S. dollars with instant USD withdrawals to your card.
You see, that's what I was talking about, that you wouldn't accrue a dollar if you wouldn't accrue a balance if you didn't send them the money until you were ready to accept the coin and trade.
Well, this is what I guess I don't know enough about how their exchange works. I'm guessing they have a debit card or something because it says the instant USD withdrawals to your card would be allowing you to sell your cryptocurrency for USD, but you cannot withdraw to a bank account as of Monday with this exchange. So again, they've already frozen staking earlier this week. Now they're freezing out bank transfers, which is the lifeblood of a U.S. dollar-based exchange. They're basically saying
they're not a dollar-based exchange anymore.
Well,
I don't think they want to be.
That's what it sounds like.
It does seem weird, though, that they would suspend the withdrawals, but their card would still work. It just seems like...
Well, that sounds like they have a deal with a different bank for the card, right?
It does sound like that, but the question is, well, why then were they forced to disconnect?
I think the bank broke up with them.
Yeah, it sounds like that may be the case.
I think that's what's going on here.
It doesn't sound like if they're still going to do business with another bank...
If anybody knows the sound of that, it's us.
Yeah.
But then the next question is, well, why not go with yet another bank? But then again, maybe they don't have that option.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very hard.
It could well be that the reason that the Fed went around and assassinated, like, Signature Bank,
Western Bank,
was to create... Basically, you know, they say that the best way to get people's attention at the beginning of a political meeting is to shoot a couple people in the head.
Yeah.
And then everybody who's still alive is paying attention.
Yeah, and these guys are... The last line here says, stay tuned for more information about this exciting transformation.
I'm excited.
There's more I can't wait.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
U.S.
USA News Update. Millions of people in the Midwest are dealing with a tornado outbreak. There are more than 600 injuries linked to a tornado that tore through Little Rock, Arkansas. The gigantic twister hit a densely populated area of the state capital, tore off roofs, and blew out windows of shopping centers.
According to the fire department, this is not a safe. We cannot stay here. It is completely not livable. That's what we're trying to do now before it gets dark.
Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman's out of the hospital after receiving treatment for depression the past several weeks. Fetterman said in a statement the care provided by Walter Reed National Military Medical Center staff changed his life. Assistant Director David Halls on Rust is pleading no contest to a misdemeanor charge in the accidental fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. He will not serve jail time, but instead serve 6 months of unsupervised probation. Dave Collins, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join the show here. Coming up, we'll get into the Restrict Act, the latest with BRICS, potential end of the dollar hegemony, the dollar's domination around the planet. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. And you can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com, and you can enjoy the various features we have there for you. I do want to say thanks to our supporters of the AMPS program, including Thomas Knapp, who is a silver-level supporter of AMPS, AMPS.freetalklive.com. It stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live, talking about the ideas of freedom, liberty, crypto, precious metals, you know, all the peace, the things that we like to talk about here on broadcast radio 7 nights a week. We're live, and if you want to support that, then join as Thomas has done for Silver Level, which is the that's what we ask for. We ask for $5 a month. That's what Thomas is doing. So thank you for that. There are other levels if you wish. You're feeling generous. We certainly appreciate the support. I would love to continue doing the show based on simply user or listener support rather than having to rely on advertisers, which we currently are not. We're not relying on advertisers right now, but it'd be nice to double the numbers of the listener support. So thank you to the roughly 130 people that are supporting us through Patreon. And there's several that have signed on through Odyssey, by the way. So if you aren't a fan of Patreon, or maybe you just want to help us decentralize a little bit, our fiat money's coming in, then you can join through Odyssey. So if you want to join through Patreon, go to amps.freetalklive.com. or you can go to video.freetalklive.com. And if you've got an account on the Odyssey platform, you can sign up with your credit card or debit card through Odyssey, and that helps us, and it also helps the Odyssey platform because they get a cut of the fees.
I wonder if it would do any good to have some kind of a rainmaker program.
What's that?
Well, if somebody can go out and beat the bushes and find the snakes who are willing to donate, maybe figure out a way to pay them some kind of commission. I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
Mark Edge has always been happy to pay commission to anybody that can find advertisers, for instance. So that's certainly been a thing. It's hard to find good salesmen. It's hard, and it's hard to find libertarians that have a significant amount of money as well.
Yeah.
Who want to actually support a principled. I mean, if you want to water your viewpoint down, then you might be able to get a Koch Institute or something like that to back you up. But if you're actually principled with the ideas of liberty, it's hard to find the big think tank types to get behind you.
I sure would enjoy some sweet, sweet Coke dollars.
We're going to continue here with your calls and thoughts. We got David on the line in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I am very excited tonight. I hear your email reading about CEX.io shutting off their payment rails with the U.S. currency system. That's a great thing. Now all we need to do is get Coinbase and Kraken and all the rest of them to do it.
Well, why is that a great thing? I mean, I understand bankers bad, banks bad, but the reality is a lot of the people that we want to get out of government money still have government money, and they're sitting in bank accounts, and they're targeting the peer-to-peer sellers like the Crypto 6 to try to scare people out of selling person-to-person, and if they're shutting down payment rails from these bankers to be able to send wire transfers to crypto exchanges, just how exactly are people going to get cryptocurrency?
Well, here's how you do it.
I want David to answer the question, please. Go ahead, David. And you can jump in.
They shut down one Coinbase, right? One gigantic big Coinbase, and then 10,000 local Monero sellers come on, and they can't sue 10,000 people. Or you take your $800 or your $1,000.
But how many? Before you go on with the or, how many people are going to want to sign up on localmonero.co or agoradesk.com, which is the sort of the alternative to local Bitcoins? Local Bitcoins is shut down at this point. They're in withdrawals mode only. You cannot sell on local Bitcoins anymore. So this is sort of like the other one. There's a few more. There's Paxful. But how many people are going to sign up for these services knowing that the FBI could be kicking in their door in the middle of the night? I mean, presuming they know that, I'm sure.
I would advise nobody to do that.
I mean,
not me, the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a point that they're targeting people for publicity, and they're not actually able to go after the 10,000.
Well, that's true, but that
sellers.
That the point is to get the fear out there into people. That's why CEX.io is closing, closing down. That's why Bittrex is closing down. We haven't talked about that yet.
True.
These guys haven't been targeted yet.
This is how you would distribute crypto without going to prison, if that's your heart's desire. You see, the thing that doesn't make you subject to any kind of regulation is buying and selling goods and services. So
nobody is not an attorney, and this is not legal advice.
I am not an attorney. This is just what my attorney told me.
Okay.
So I should have prefaced this with Anessa said. So for example, if you found a place that you could buy computers for crypto,
and
you knew a place to sell them for cash, okay, then you could use the flow from that to transfer from one to the other.
You could
in the Taoist way, which is doing without doing.
But don't forget, eBay's going to charge you sales tax in states where they hit you for sales tax, and eBay's going to report you to the government when you cross a $600 threshold. So I mean, that's by no means some sort of an underground method to get rid of crypto.
There are some ways.
Well, if you wanted to do it underground, you'd probably want to go on the dark web and use weed instead of gold.
I think there's
but the average person, we're talking about The average person is not going to set up a big business selling things on eBay just so they can buy a little bit of Bitcoin.
That's true. But, you know, there is definitely a lot of room for a lot more people to be accepting crypto. There's, you know, accepting crypto directly for the businesses they already have, side sales they might have on eBay that they already do, you know, farmers market, all sorts of different places. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that eliminates the, how do I say this?
That's a way to get some crypto.
Yeah. The need necessarily for the convert, or at least conversion, because some people just don't have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think long term, you do potentially have the, society has the ability to replace dollars with crypto without those exchanges.
Sure,
somebody
but it's a lot
needs
harder.
To talk to drugs.
It's harder to get off the ground.
Drugs won the war.
Mm-hmm.
And the way drugs won the war was to use a decentralized small operators. And, you know, it's true that not everybody is going to go to the trouble of setting up an eBay business to buy and sell crypto. But the thing is, that creates an opportunity, because the fact that it's a pain in the butt and not everybody wants to do it gives you an opportunity to say, well, guess what? You don't have to do that because I'm doing that.
Right.
And so you cut me a little cash and I'll slip you some crypto every week on your dollar cost averaging.
Yeah, I would say that I very rarely have purchased crypto. It's not that I've never done it, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I may have a little bit of an advantage in terms of my customer base.
You've got a huge advantage, bro.
Yeah, but it's certainly visible. Like, there are
But
answers.
Your customers have to get it from somewhere.
They right. certainly do.
Some of them may be getting paid, but others may be buying the cryptocurrency. So I'm not going to celebrate here, David, the death. Even though I don't care for centralized exchanges, I don't like them. I mean, I wish they didn't exist, but as we're seeing, if they're targeting the peer-to-peer people as well, we need every possible way available to get people into cryptocurrency. So I think it's premature to celebrate their demise. Anyway, go ahead with what else you might want to say on this, because we've been dominating this call.
Extreme localism.
The other way is, again, just mining. So you and a couple of friends get together and pitch in for some ant miners or some Bitmain ASICs or whatever.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Mine Bitcoin.
Yeah,
or
if you're more technically adept, mining is definitely an option for you. If you are, however, not technically adept, that is way out of the way for somebody who just wants to try buying some Bitcoin and then maybe using it to, you know, buy some products or services.
But again, the guy who is technically adept. And certainly it's 100% legal to buy electricity for dollars.
As of now, it is legal, from what we understand, to mine Bitcoin, for now.
You know, and it would be very hard to track, even if it wasn't.
You know, it does actually.
One of the reasons behind the design. But the thing is, that's another thing where, you know, maybe you have to pay your rent in dollars, and you certainly have to pay for your electricity in dollars.
Yep.
So you're going to have to distribute some of that coin to other people. The reason, dude, down in the islands was so successful at getting people to adopt Bitcoin Cash for retail sales is because he's a wholesaler.
Yes.
And the number one issue that retailers are going to tell you when they say, I'd love to accept Bitcoin Cash, but my wholesaler won't take it.
Yep.
So find a place to get wholesale deals on anything and find people who want to offer Bitcoin Cash at retail.
No doubt.
You know, there is another interesting, curious how they would deal with this, but you can pay for services to acquire the Bitcoin where you're renting effectively the server, and if that server is instantly set up with mining, you effectively all you end up doing is seeing the crypto in your wallet, and there's no actual need to purchase the crypto from anybody because you're doing the mining yourself, but VIA
rented. You have to purchase the electricity.
Yeah, right.
But so, you can pay dollars for that.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. Right. Which is really interesting because you have to wonder then, what are they going to try and accuse you of? Because you're not actually selling Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. You're selling the hardware and the resources. And if it's instant, as far as the, you know, one-click button, it's from a user's perspective, it's no different than buying the crypto directly from an exchange.
So imagine if a free stater set up a small... you know, Bitcoin Cash Farm or even BTC coin. It doesn't matter what you mine because you're going to sell it anyway, although I'm not a fan of BTC.
A lot of people do Monero because you don't have to have the crazy equipment.
Yeah, so basically, and maybe Monero is the thing to do because that also gives... And the thing is, the fact that they can't prosecute you doesn't mean they can't assassinate you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's true, too.
So, you know, it's a good idea to stay off the road radar. But the other thing is bodegas. You know, there's a lot of bodegas where if you know somebody, if you're local, if you go in there every day, you can walk in there, buy a bag of weed. I used to live next door to a bodega like that, and I'd go in, buy a couple grams of weed every day, the same time I bought my cigarettes and my sandwiches. Well, that, if you run a bodega, selling some Bitcoin behind the counter while you're at it makes sense. Now, I especially say bodega, and I keep repeating that word, because there's a lot of people who want to send money to the...
remittances to other countries.
Remittances. Yeah. Yeah. Immigrants want to send remittances. Well, the perfect thing for that is Bitcoin Cash. It's a lot cheaper than Western Union or any of the monstrous companies that you have to deal with to do it normally. So that would be a great business for a bodega owner. How about if you own a coin shop and you want to bring more people in? Well, I'll tell you what, with the uncertainty about crypto, I've really been thinking that you know, if I owned anything, I'd probably want to be split between Bitcoin and precious metals.
Seems like a good idea.
Probably a huge opportunity for people who run coin shops. And see, all of this stuff, very hard to watch, especially if you're using Monero, and especially if you keep your wits about you, just like a pot dealer has to do, and, you know, you're careful about who you deal with. Maybe you don't want to deal with every Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street, because it's, you know, it's basically the cartel is coming down on the competition, and when that does that, you can keep selling weed, but you want to keep it on the QT.
David, anything else you want to share tonight?
No.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's continue here. Tim's in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live. The number, by the way, is 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. Tim, go ahead.
And so I had a few things which I could address, but I don't have to address all of them. But I did want to say that I do kind of call in as exposure therapy because I'm terrified, and I feel like it's something I have to force myself to do.
You're terrified to call talk radio?
Yeah, and I'm not, like, I could probably do public speaking, and I wouldn't be terrified, but for some reason...
It's weird. I know what you're talking about. I still get it, too. Like, even though I host a talk show, if I call into a talk show, I get a little adrenaline rush from it. There's just something about it that, you know, maybe it's just the feeling of being up on stage in front of people, but somehow different, maybe more intense because you don't know how many people are out there in the audience. I don't know, but it definitely happens to a lot of people, and it happens to me. So just keep in mind, we're all friends here. Everything's okay. So what did you want to share tonight?
Oh, well, I don't know, because I kind of came in late into this show and I came in late into last night's show, but did you all hear about ThorChain?
What about ThorChain? Is there an update on that?
There was some situation. They were saying there was some sort of vulnerability, and I wondered if there really was a vulnerability, or maybe even if that vulnerability had been maybe it had been a zero day that maybe a government agency found, for example.
I suspect that the government would not report a vulnerability in a decentralized exchange if they discovered it. But I do follow them on social media, and that was a temporary shutdown of ThorChain. It has it is now back in operation according to the updates that they've been posting. ThorChain, for listeners that don't know.
ThorChain. I thought he said 4chan.
No. ThorChain is, for listeners that don't know, one of the decentralized exchanges out there in the world right now. There are not very many of them that allow you to actually trade, like, what they call level one cryptocurrencies. So you can trade Bitcoin for Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin Cash for Ethereum. So it's not like one of those token only.
Yeah, tokens for tokens, easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a pretty interesting technology, and there have been some problems with it. A couple of years ago, there was a hack over the summer of 2021, if I recall, and some people lost some coins in that. But then they brought in third party auditors, security auditors, who are constantly looking at the code, and there has not been any kind of issue with any loss since that time, if I recall correctly.
A lot of it's like, you know, buying weed on the dark web. You know, you don't want to buy a pound of weed on the dark web. If you want a pound of weed and you're on the dark web, find 16 vendors and buy an ounce from each of them, you know, and maybe one or two of them will defect, but you can still turn a profit. Whereas if you put your whole bag into one transaction, you
riskier.
Lose it all in one shot.
Riskier, yeah, it's true. But there's some interesting developments out there in the world of decentralized exchanges, and I'm really happy to see them on the rise. Like I said, I don't want to cheer on the death of the centralized exchange, even though I don't care for them.
I want to cheer on the death of the dollar.
Yeah.
And basically, by shutting down the exchanges, what they're admitting is that they can't compete with crypto.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
They're scared to death of crypto.
They wouldn't want to shut down the exchanges if they thought they were going to win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things is, though, the decentralized exchanges don't have an on-ramp for
people.
That's
the problem.
So it's not necessarily a good thing from the...
It's not a complete replacement.
Right,
yeah.
Right. If there is
a
decentralized
solution...
electric
company does have an on-ramp.
If there's a decentralized solution to the on-ramp issue, I would love to see that.
Well, David, who called just before Tim, has pointed out that BISC, B-I-S-Q, which is probably the first decentralized exchange, does have a cash for Monero option,
really?
Or cash for Bitcoin option. But, you know, the last time I used it was more than like 3 years ago, and at the time there were not very many sellers on there, and there's also... Well, he explained to us that there was a way of kind of doing a... I don't know if it was like an escrow or something, but there was some sort of security that involved maybe a third party to check a transaction for, you know, scams going on. Anyway, Tim, any other thoughts you wanted to share tonight?
Well, as far as BISC goes, the one thing I found out about BISC is there are no Bitcoin Cash pairs. It's an okay place if you want to exchange Bitcoin for Ethereum, and they also have... Well, Namecoin, if you like Namecoin, I don't even know what's going on with that. But then there's a bunch
like
of really
what
other
coin?
Really
Namecoin?
Namecoin. I haven't heard that name in years.
It's one of the earliest registry, right?
It's one of the earliest attempts at a decentralized DNS. It was one of the first alternatives to Bitcoin out there. It used to be in the top 10 of cryptocurrencies. I have no idea where it is right now. But so it sounds like you've been on BISC and you've got some experience with it.
Yeah, so I haven't done any transactions yet, but I will say that if you want Bitcoin Cash, then you're better off than going to ThorChain because you cannot get Bitcoin Cash on BISC. So there you go.
All right, man. Hey, thank
the
you for the call.
The thing is, once you yeet your dollars, you can always trade any crypto for any other crypto somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And there are on-ramp, that's the real benefit.
Yeah, that's the trick. That's the tricky part.
Those dollars.
So, and that comes down to these peer-to-peer platforms. If you're not willing to go on a centralized exchange and you don't have anybody that you can just, you know, buy crypto from in real life, which is the best way. Like, if you've got a meetup and you've got some trusted people there who are willing to sell you some coins, that's the best way to do it. It's the most off the record. The least likely you're dealing with a, you know, an undercover officer or something like that, because they want to buy Bitcoin from you. They don't want to sell it to you.
See,
generally.
The world needs squads of hookers who are into crypto because they don't have to pay anybody for their product. They got it free.
and there probably are some of them like that. We met some that were at one of the Anarchapulco events. So there are some some hookers out there that are like that.
Yeah, see, that would be a beautiful thing. The world needs to come up with a dark web version of Tinder that has a built-in crypto wallet.
Let's go to David. He's in San Francisco. You're on Free Talk Live. David.
I think I've raised this half a dozen times on previous shows. You know, you're dealing with funny money with crypto. And you're pretending that there's some,
what is that supposed to mean?
You know, God-given right to go do an exchange rate with funny money.
What do you mean, funny money?
What's so funny? You
I mean, are we talking about the U.S. dollar?
Is it hilarious to trade in a currency that that isn't backed by blood and war and killing? Is that what bothers you about it?
Well, your pretense that there's some value to, if you think about,
are you going
to
answer his question? He just asked you a question.
Yeah.
If you look at the pretense of the money, whether it's the pretense of a war economy or the pretense that somebody can just dream up a money that's going to inflate and inflate and inflate, and that some profiteers
can... Nobody said that.
You're talking about the Federal Reserve and central banks when you're talking about inflation, right?
I think he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's trying to say deflate and deflate, like we're counting on endless deflation in the crypto market. To hell with that. You want a stable money. What I want to see is for it to stop going up so fast or threatening to that people don't want to spend it.
Did you mean to say deflate or you mean inflate? Are you talking about Bitcoin, David? What specifically are you referring to?
Well, how high did Bitcoin get?
How high?
It's been as high as like 60K. 60,
that doesn't have anything to do with whether it's inflationary. Yeah,
it's about 30,000.
Can a farmer deal with a value of money that changes? When I was first offered the opportunity to use Bitcoin, it was at 1,200 a coin.
Mm-hmm.
And it then got to 60,000 within 5 years.
Did you have any?
The idea
or were you too smart?
So, funny money.
I don't think he wants to answer any questions. So, are you?
I don't think he can hear us. Man.
Yeah.
You might be having audio problems on your end. Call back when you can hear.
Thanks for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Imagine if that farmer had taken it at $1,200. He'd be doing a lot better on his farm. Because right now it's $28,000 or $29,000. More coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is how we do every day. If you grind it, if you want to come and text them,
if you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
This is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.